This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Fathom Entertainment's new film, Nothing But a Winner, will be released in theaters nationwide July 31st. The movie is about the greatest college football program in the history of the sport, the University of Alabama Crimson Tide, and thus the phrase, Roll Tide.
Touchdown! Alabama wins!
Alabama, without bragging, is the greatest college football program in the history of college football.
And Alabama is not just football, it's just a way of life.
Hey, if we don't win a national championship, that's a bad Alabama season.
And the Crimson Tide has once again ascended to the top of the college football mountain.
You know, we always talk about climbing the mountain. But what they don't realize is when you successfully climb the mountain, you become the mountain and everybody's shooting at you.
You've finally beaten Alabama.
And once you've ghosted Alabama, then everything else goes downhill just a little bit.
We'll be walking out of here as a national champion.
Coach Bryant is the greatest coach of all time.
Well, he didn't just coach football, he coached life as well.
I expect nothing less.
He's not coming down to pat you on the back. He coming down to kick your butt.
The one thing about Coach was, it was tough, but you knew he loved you.
He had recreated Alabama football. It wasn't black versus white. We were all Crimson Tide.
And I say segregation now and segregation forever.
If you N-words play, we will shoot and kill every one of you.
We had that assurance that he had our backs. Being an African-American quarterback and starting in the SEC, you needed a certain type of person, character-wise.
12 o'clock at night, I lie in my bed, and I just lay there, and I cry, and I pray.
It was a vehicle for us to have a quality life as American citizens.
I wish you hadn't asked me about that. I still dream about it.
The feature documentary is directed by Jimmy Jenkins, and one of the producers of Nothing But a Winner joins us now on Sports Jam, actor and former Alabama Crimson Tide defensive back, Caleb Castile. Caleb, welcome to Sports Jam.
Hey, thanks for having me, Doug. I'm excited to be here.
It's great to have you on the show. This is about as personal as it can get for you being a part of this film. You played for legendary coach Nick Saban. Your father and two brothers, Tim and Simeon, also played for Alabama. Your father, Jeremiah, who played defensive back under Paul Bear Bryant, and later served as the team chaplain for more than two decades, a key person in the film. This is deep for you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, Doug. This is family. This is legacy. This is, all accredited to my father, who decided to go and play for Coach Bryant at the tender age of 18 out of a small city in Alabama called Phoenix City. And yeah, that's where it all started for our family. He's now transitioned into being the chaplain there. He's been there as a chaplain for going on 24 seasons. So this is something that's exciting, you know, being so close to the program. I even learned a lot, you know, as I did research and got into the history of Alabama and dug a little deeper. So it's a blessing, and I feel very privileged to be able to helped bring this to the world.
There are three coaches that are talked about in this film. Two are the legendary coaches of Alabama that I've already mentioned, Nick Saban and Paul Bear Bryant, but Gene Stallings is also a part of the film. He coached Alabama for a while. When you say the word privileged to play for Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide, I know that you eventually left the team to pursue acting, but
yeah.
Take us back to your days. What was it like playing for Coach Saban?
Oh, it was tough. Very, very tough. I mean, Coach Saban, you know, as most people, as anyone who goes and watches the film will see, Coach Saban was raised in a great family, grew up in a small town. He's as tough as they come. A mining town in West Virginia. And so he's, I believe, one of those, the last standing old school ball coaches. You know, there's a lot of tough guys out there, but I do know that Coach Nick Saban is one of a kind. And so, you know, being there during those 4 years was extraordinary. I was actually talking about this recently, and someone was asking me, you know, about, how does someone accomplish what he did? And I told him that he just has a it just when it comes to consistency, he's extreme. Like, he takes it to the extreme level of, like, I've never seen him wear, I mean, I've only seen him wear the same thing to practice for the every season I was there. You know what I mean? So, down to just what he, decides he's gonna wear to practice, he's that consistent, right? So, a lot of that I took away from Alabama, the ability to be disciplined and put your head down and accomplish something, give it your all, stay committed. And I definitely have to attribute any success I've had thus far to the 4 years I was at Alabama.
The man has made history.
I think I love college football because you have an opportunity to change lives.
Coach Saban is the greatest leader of men I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's about integrity. That's doing things when no one's watching.
You have to earn everything that comes to you.
Commitment, discipline, effort, toughness, and pride. Those are values that I can take in any avenue of life that I go.
I'm so proud of this guy for what he's done this year. I can't even tell you.
I never really realized the impact that Alabama football has not only meant to the state, but the entire country.
If you believe in yourself, have dedication and pride, never quit, you'll be a winner.
Cause I ain't never been nothing but a winner.
College football fans are getting to see a different side of Nick Saban a little bit as an analyst. He's on commercials.
Check-in time is 3.
It's 2:55.
I know.
Is this what he's doing now?
Have a seat. As your host, I have some rules. First, no showers longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa. There's no streaming, only cable television.
Any games for the kids?
No games, no fun. The kids aren't even allowed in the house. That's the rule.
And really sharing in the fun of being that hard-nosed guy in a couple of those commercials where you're on vacation. If you're going to stay at his house, you got to play by his rules. No fun and everything.
Yeah.
He was no nonsense though, right?
Super no nonsense guy. It's interesting, as I begin to transition away from there, I could see, him changing a little bit. But yeah, Doug, for the most part, just no nonsense guy. And he found a way to get it done, so can't fault him.
You got your big break in 2015 with the movie Woodlawn. You played Tony Nathan, the running back. As an actor now, how did that help you approach being a producer for this film?
Oh, wow. I mean, gosh, I think anytime you have a experience that precedes something else, like, right, like, being the lead of this film, I got to the lead of Woodlawn, I got to see the ins and outs of a production top to bottom. And so, I did learn a lot from that POV, which, a lot of actors don't really get the opportunity. Usually it's like you're in and out, it's a couple of days of work or whatever, but the privilege of being sort of the guy, I was able to build a lot of different relationships on the set with various crew members, and obviously getting to know the directors and the producers well. I took everything that I learned from there and learning what to do, what not to do. And so when it came time to put my hand in at producing, I had a little bit of experience to draw from, and so, but this is by far much harder than being an actor. Way, way harder.
And you've done a tremendous job. This documentary is wonderful. I'm a lover of history, Caleb. So going back to the days of Paul Bear Bryant and knowing that when he coached,││ It was a different time. It was during the height of the civil rights movement, and he led the charge to integrate the team in a deeply segregated South, setting a precedent that would ripple beyond. Your dad, Jeremiah, played for him. What did he tell you about how it was being a black player at Alabama?
Oh, man. You know, I would have to first talk about my grandfather, Joseph Castile, who before the World War II and Vietnam, he was a vet, but he built roads in South Alabama as a young black man, right? You know, so you imagine his life experience throughout the 40s and 50s. And, you know, there's one thing that my grandpa taught my dad, other than being disciplined and going to work, was that, you know, as a young black man in this world, you're going to have to learn to take some things if you're going to go somewhere, if you're going to be great. And my dad talks about how he took that into sort of just hostile, different environments as a young black man in the South. You know, my dad fortunately was there in 79. I guess that would be almost, yeah, about 10, 11 years after the integrated this team. But yeah, he talked about just sort of taking the that Jackie Robinson approach, right? It's like, you know who you are deep inside, and you lean on that. You lean on your character. You look for the best in people, and people that, especially that don't look like you. And, you know, not saying my dad had it easy, easier than those guys who were on Coach Bryant's first team, but they had definitely kind of, you know, had come some ways. And so, yeah, my dad talks about it in a way where he's thankful for that adversity as a young man, because it made him the man he is today. It contributed to the integrity and the character and the toughness that, you know, he needed for his life. So he's never talked negatively about that experience one time. Matter of fact, as you see in the film, you know, these guys tell these just, you know, some of these stories that you just could not even bear to some, you know, to hear. But their countenance and their perspective of those situations and circumstances were just all positive, you know? So it's a very beautiful thing when you sit and listen to someone who may experience such atrocities or adversity or whatever, and they're able to have taken a positive, you know, outcome from it.
When we talk about your dad, Jeremiah, we're not just talking about somebody who played college football. He also made the NFL and played six seasons in the NFL. But Cleveland Browns fans do not like to hear the name Jeremiah Castile, because it was in the 1987 AFC Championship game versus the Browns that he's remembered for stripping the ball from Browns running back Ernest Biner and recovering in a play called the fumble.
Draw to Biner. Ernest Biner.
Fumble.
Fumble the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my. Or have they? Let's wait for the official to unpile them.
There's a war going on under that stack.
There it is. Denver's ball at the 2-yard line. Biner had the first and goal and lost the ball.
And the Browns fans will never forgive Biner, will they?
Hey, Doug, I'll tell you a funny story. They won't ever forgive my dad, and I have an example of it. So you mentioned the movie Woodlawn. I was up in Cleveland. I was doing some marketing and different things. We were on a press tour, and I was downtown, and I checked into a hotel. And, you know, I go up just like anybody else. I take out my form of payment, and I take out my ID. And it was a gentleman on up in age. He had some years on him, a little bit, of experience. And I end up giving him my ID. He looks down, he looks up, he looks back down, and he says, "Son, you wouldn't be happen to be related to a Jeremiah Castile, would you?" And Doug, I was just blown away, at the fact that this guy, he said, "Man, I believe at the time, him and his son were there at the game as Browns fans." And so it was a good laugh. He could laugh about it then, but yeah, it was definitely something hilarious.
Two of my favorite quarterbacks played for the University of Alabama. One is in the film as it's Jalen Hurts. A lot of people don't remember. Yes, he played at Alabama,
He
now
sure did.
winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles. But the other one was maybe, other than Terry Bradshaw, my favorite quarterback of all time, Joe Namath, went to played at Alabama in a different era too. We
That's
always
right.
laugh because I'm from Western Pennsylvania, and when you hear Joe Namath talk, he sounds like he said football. Well, so the South stayed with Joe. That Western PA accent went out the door. But you have so many great players from Alabama's history in this film. I'm sure everybody said, "Yeah, I'm all in," right?
It's interesting from the from where we're seated as the storytellers and producers of this thing. You really realize like how much of a challenge that life presents when you're trying to put these things together and coordinate schedules and get all the interviews together. And it was definitely a challenge, from that aspect. But everyone, Doug, that all the guys that we reached out to, you're correct, they were just super excited to sit down and just reminisce. You know what I mean? My father's our family foundation that my father started in Birmingham, Alabama. We started a dinner called the Night of Legends, and we started this dinner on the 50th year of that first integrated team. So it was 2021, 50 years out from 1971. And we get all those legends together, and every year we celebrate a different decade of Bama legends. And so anyway, starting with that first year, man, getting all these guys in the room together, and it was like they jumped in a time portal. You got these old weathered men that it was like when they came and got on stage together and started talking about this stuff, they were 18 and 19 again. So it's really a great it was really a great experience for me, having been there at 18, 19 and comparing experiences. But yeah, people are gonna hear from some guys in this movie that are legends that they didn't know about. You know what I mean? That really contributed during those vital years under Coach Bryant. And that's another point I'll make is, speaking of guys that may not be as, well known as the Joe Namaths, the men who had to really take on all of that pressure of the, going from segregated to integrated, Coach Bryant took a risk, right? And with the game with John McKay and everything that he set out to do, he took a risk, and he had to bet that the character of the young men that he went and recruited could withstand the pressure, right?
Much
Because,
like a Jackie Robinson you just talked about, right?
he had those guys had to withstand the pressure. It had to work with them. You know what I mean? Or Coach Bryant would have been proven wrong, in a way, right? So to be able to celebrate all of these men is, like I said earlier, a privilege.
It's not just the Castile family that's involved in this film. Also, you have Marlon Humphrey, the All-American defensive back under Nick Saban, the four-time Pro Bowler currently with the Ravens, the executive producer of this film, and financed a lot of the project, too. Mm-hmm. Both the Humphreys and the Castiles made this film possible.
Yeah. You know, Marlon's dad was a tremendous running back at Alabama, Bobby Humphrey, and went on to play at Denver. So kind of that same path that my dad took. My dad was a Bronco, as we mentioned earlier. And so, yeah, when I called Marlon to, you know, get on board with this thing, you know, he didn't hesitate. And I think that really speaks volumes of Coach Bryant really instilling legacy and family values into all of his guys, even to the point where Coach Bryant's family, Mary Harmon, his wife, Miss Mary Harmon, set up the Bryant family scholarship. The Bryant scholarship has been in play at Alabama since 82, I believe. And really, any player that played for Coach Bryant's children were allowed to go to Alabama for free, and still to this day. So, you know, we have Marlon and I, we have a lot to give back to the university. You know, the place has blessed our lives tremendously.
The fact that I have the jersey of Rocky Blyer behind me, his Notre Dame jersey, but he mentioned to me when I talked to him about the Pittsburgh Steelers had a mindset of, we're going to win this game. And I get the impression that when you play for Alabama, especially under Nick Saban, as people watching the game go, yeah, they might be down. They're coming back. They're going to win this game. Somehow, some way, they're going to win this game. And that pretty much was always the case.
Yeah. Now we, you know, I think for us, that really just falls back to having confidence in the preparation day in, day out, week in, week out. Coach Saban is so meticulous in his process where, you know, even from our nutrition and weightlifting program to the way that we process, break down, and watch film, everything is detailed. Every moment is taken just as serious as the next. And, you know, when you think about, as I said earlier, what it takes to be as consistent as we were and as dominant as we were, that's how you can't look at it as, you know, 15 games or however many games are in a season, right? It's like day by day, moment by moment, play by play. Like we have a off-season program. We had an off-season program there that was called fourth quarter. And, you know, it was all about mental toughness, right? And, I mean, we used to break that thing down to every minute. And Coach Saban used to emphasize 60 minutes. Every minute mattered. So I think all of what I just said is what contributes to not only the winning, but even the confidence that the fans have in us going and getting the job done.
What does Roll Tide mean to Caleb Castile?
Oh, gosh. I think for me, it just means a certain standard, right? Like a standard of excellence, a champion mindset. When I hear Roll Tide, there might be a little bit of PTSD there, you know, because of just how much it means to me. It kind of just straightens your back a little bit. But, you know, I was also raised in the South, so Roll Tide can be hello and goodbye, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important that people go to the theaters on July 31st
Yes.
to see this documentary. Tell us why that's the case.
Well, so on the 31st, we have our nationwide release, which is about 1,000 theaters, coast to coast. And we were given one night to really get it, get out there and win this thing. And how well the night goes on the 31st really dictates how many more showings we get from there. So yeah, we definitely want everyone to get out on the 31st and, you know, go ahead and buy tickets now. I mean, I've already seen regionally and, you know, really some friends of mine, even out in California, have seen, you know, where, you know, it's selling out fast. So we're on track. But the thing I want to remind people is that we do well, you'll have the opportunity to see it into the weekend and hopefully into the next weekend.
And I want to stress too, is that if you love football, if you love history, if you love learning about the civil rights movement, this is a doc for you. This isn't just for fans of Alabama. This isn't for just alum. This is for everyone. It's a real teaching moment. You get an inside feel of some of the legendary coaches and players. And I think what you touched upon earlier is very important. Some of the names that maybe you don't know that helped form Alabama to become an 18-time national champion through the years. So without their hard work, as you mentioned, and their perseverance, this wouldn't have been able to be possible. There would be no Jalen Hurts playing for the Philadelphia Eagles and things like that. So congratulations on this film.
Thank you, Doug.
And how has it changed you now? You said that it's more difficult to be a producer than an actor. How will this film now change you as an actor?
Oh, man. It'll definitely make me more grateful when my feet do touch back down on a set where my only responsibility is to be there on time, hit my mark, and know my lines. You know, I'm not worried about any line budgets or anything like that. So I'll definitely be grateful, you know, when that time comes. But no, it has made me much more responsible. You know, it is a very large lift, but you know, Doug, like, it is so cool to see it all come together. And we have our red carpet premiere next Wednesday in Birmingham, Alabama. And man, I'm just looking forward to just celebrating with friends and family and our crew, because anyone who's been in and around these sorts of projects know how difficult it is to just go from an idea, right? You know, my producing partner, Dave Jacobson, and myself, and RJ Moeller, his partner, and my dad Jeremiah, and my brother Tim, we're all just having a slice of pizza thinking about this. And all of a sudden we're like, maybe this should be a movie, maybe it should be a documentary, whatever. And then next thing I know, I'm calling Marlon and this person, that person, getting the money to put it together. So we're super excited. I got to thank you for allowing me to come onto your platform and promote this film. And I appreciate you championing it. And yeah, sports fans alike are going to really enjoy this movie. So thank you. Thank you a lot.
If you're wondering about the title, Bear Bryant said it. Alabama, you know, well, one of the quotes in the film is, Alabama is not just football, it's way of life. But nothing but a winner is a quote from Paul Bear Bryant.
Yep, that's right. Coach Bryant said it. He said, I'll never be nothing but a winner. That's it. I've always been a winner. I'll never be nothing but a winner. And he was right. He was right.
You mentioned Birmingham, and you went to the prestigious Briarwood Christian High School, where you distinguished yourself as a wide receiver and defensive back.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure you take a lot of pride. You know, we think of football. It's funny, when I teach my sports class and I talk to students about, okay, what would be the lead story if the Yankees beat the Mets in New York. That would be the lead story. What would be the lead story if the Yankees win the World Series, but Alabama picks up the best recruit around in Birmingham? What would be the lead story? And try to tell them, in Birmingham, it's Alabama football. And yeah, that's what it's about. Talk about a little bit about being at Briarwood Christian High School and the whole atmosphere of, you know, playing, you know, Friday nights in the South.
You know, as much as I have been able to accomplish since high school, you know, starring in the movie Woodlawn, doing other major acting projects, being playing at Alabama, you know, winning national championships, there's only one moment in my life that I still have dreams about, and it is playing football on Friday nights at Lion Pride Stadium in Birmingham, Alabama. And I tell people all the time, you know, there's nothing like that moment of life and the emotions that you feel, you know, as a high school student. Just it just meant more. It's the pure, I think it's just the purest time, right? You transition to college, it's business. It becomes business, right? And if you're fortunate enough to go and play in the National Football League, it's even more business, right? So high school is that time where you're doing it strictly for the love of the game. And you're also out there with your best friends. You know, I have five guys today that I'm friends with. We still talk every single day. And, you know, I've known these guys since I was 5, 6 years old. And so it's just really special, you know. It really, really is. You know, high school will always stand out in my mind when I think about my sports career.
One last question for you. You and your dad, Jeremiah, get to go in the Wayback Machine and can go to any Alabama football game ever. Ooh. And be in the stands or maybe even on the field for the game. What game would that be?
Oh my goodness, that is a great question. So look, I think I can't answer for my dad, but I'll answer for myself. I would definitely say the 1982 Liberty Bowl, Coach Bryant's last game, where my dad was MVP, and not specifically because my dad had three interceptions and had just a stellar game. But if you know my dad, he's a tremendous speaker. He's a tremendous speaker, but he's not a man of many words, and you know, just his personality. And my dad had been there 4 years under Coach Bryant and had never addressed the team ever. And he tells the story about them knowing it was Coach Bryant's last game. And he gets up in front of the team and basically, you know, tells the guys like, hey, we got to go and win this game for Coach Bryant. He gave them this speech. So I would have loved to have been there to see my dad give that locker room speech. You know, I get chills thinking about it. But that would be the answer for me, Doug. I don't know where my dad would go. That's interesting. You know, his hero growing up was oh gosh, I just blanked on his name. Woodrow Lowe. Woodrow Lowe was an all-American linebacker there at Alabama. So maybe you know, one of the Woodrow Lowe's best games or something like that.
Okay, so I did say it was the last question, but let's wrap this up by saying, what was the reaction of Caleb Castile and Jeremiah Castile and your brothers as well, for that matter, when the film was completed? When you first got to see the completed project, what went through your mind?
You know what is so interesting, Doug, is this process is it is very tedious. So the first cut that they saw of this was like 3 hours long, right? It's this long thing that I sat down in front of my family, you know, and just hoping that they would have the attention span, which they did. But you know, I have reserved the final cut that everyone will see in theaters for all of us together next Wednesday night in Birmingham. We'll all get to watch the premiere, the film at the premiere, together. And you know, it'll be very special. You know, when I did Woodlawn, sitting in the theater with my parents was a moment I'll never forget. And especially for my dad, you know, because he got to see John Voight, you know, in character as Coach Bryant.
If there is one thing that has helped me as a coach, Louise, it's my ability to recognize winners or good people who can become winners. And that's what I see when I look at you, Tony. And I'm talking about winning in the larger sense. I'm talking about character. Now, you have a strong family. And that's a great advantage. And you're coached by a special coach.
Thank you, sir.
So are you coming?
Where?
Bama.
My coach, he played at Auburn.
Son, don't you want one of these?
Sure do.
Louise, you ain't gonna get one at Auburn. Feel sorry for those boys.
How many black players you got?
Well, we got Wilbur Jackson, and he's a stud. But I don't have white players and black players. I have football players. That's how I see it. But in answer to your question, not nearly enough.
So why do you see that changing?
Because it's time.
Just a quick story. The first time that my dad came to visit me on set was like, I believe it was John Voight's first day on set at work. And it was so interesting. We were in between some setups. I was going back to my trailer with my dad and my brother, and they were bringing John Voight up to do for him to start his scenes. And it just so happened that as soon as we got to the parking lot and John Voight's transpo showed up, John Voight jumped out of the transpo van fully, you know, as Bear Bryant. And my dad just had this moment like he was 18 years old again.
Wow. You know? Wow.
It was one of the most the coolest, most special moments I've had. Yeah.
The hat, right? The hat makes all the difference with Coach.
Yeah.
Coach
John Bryant. John did a tremendous job in that role. So if you haven't seen Woodlawn, you know, I am biased, but it is a remarkable story.
Yeah. And Caleb Castillo played running back Tony Nathan in that film. So this film coming out now, you want to be there July 31st, theater near you. Nothing But a Winner, coming from Source Media and Fathom Entertainment. It is a history lesson for you to enjoy. And I'm sure at that premiere that you're talking about, there's going to be pride and there's going to be some tears too. You know,
100%. Yeah.
Right. Caleb Castillo, what a pleasure to have you on Sports Jam. Continued success.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out this week to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with Caleb Castillo. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.